Today is the 20th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we gather again around the global campfire and find a place and just get cozy and comfortable and relaxed and let the scriptures come into our minds and flow through into our hearts as we allow God to speak through his word. We are in the book of Isaiah, and we are in the midpoint of Isaiah. In fact, I would say today is when we kind of cross through and move into and through the back half of Isaiah. And so let's dive in. Today, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 10, through 36, verse 22. Now I will rise up, says the Lord. Now I will lift myself up. Now I will be exalted. You will conceive chaff. You will give birth to stubble. Your breath is fire that will consume you. The peoples will be burned to ashes, like thorns cut down and burned in a fire. You who are far off, hear what I have done. You who are near, know my strength. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling seizes the ungodly. Who among us can dwell with a consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with ever-burning flames? The one who lives righteously and speaks rightly, who refuses profit from extortion, whose hand never takes a bribe, who stops his ears from listening to murderous plots and shuts his eyes against evil schemes. He will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the rocky fortresses, his food provided, his water assured. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. You will see a vast land. Your mind will meditate on the past terror. Where is the accountant? Where is the tribute collector? Where is the one who spied out our defenses? You will no longer see the barbarians, a people whose speech is difficult to comprehend, who stammer in a language that is not understood. Look at Zion, the city of our festival times. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful pasture, a tent that does not wander. Its tent pegs will not be pulled up, nor will any of its cords be loosened. For the Majestic One, our Lord, will be there, a place of rivers and broad streams where ships that are rowed will not go, and majestic vessels will not pass. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. Your ropes are slack. They cannot hold the base of the mast or spread out the flag. An abundant spoil will be divided. The lame will plunder it, and none there will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. You nations, come here and listen. You peoples, pay attention. Let the earth and all that fills it hear, the world and all that comes from it. The Lord is angry with all the nations, furious with all their armies. He will set them apart for destruction, giving them over to slaughter. Their slain will be thrown out, and the stench of their corpses will rise. The mountains will flow with their blood. All the stars in the sky will dissolve. The sky will roll up like a scroll, and its stars will all wither, as leaves wither on the vine, and foliage on the fig tree. When my sword has drunk its fill in the heavens, it will then come down on Edom, and on the people I have set apart for destruction. The Lord's sword is covered with blood. It drips with fat, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, a great slaughter in the land of Edom. The wild oxen will be struck down with them, and young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land will be soaked with blood, and their soil will be saturated with fat. for the Lord has a day of vengeance, a time of paying back Edom for its hostility against Zion. Edom's streams will be turned into pitch, her soil into sulfur. Her land will become burning pitch. It will never go out, day or night. Its smoke will go up forever. It will be desolate from generation to generation. No one will pass through it forever and ever. Eagle owls and herons will possess it, and long-eared owls and ravens will dwell there. The Lord will stretch out a measuring line and a plumb line over her for her destruction and chaos. No nobles will be left to proclaim a king, and all her princes will come to nothing. Her palaces will be overgrown with thorns, her fortified cities with thistles and briars. She will become a dwelling for jackals, an abode for ostriches. The desert creatures will meet hyenas, and one wild goat will call to another. Indeed, the night birds will stay there and will find a resting place. Sand partridges will make their nests there. They will lay and hatch their eggs and will gather their broods under their shadows. Indeed, the birds of prey will gather there, each with its mate. Search and read the scroll of the Lord. Not one of them will be missing. None will be lacking its mate, because he has ordered it by my mouth, and he will gather them by his spirit. He has cast the lot for them. His hand allotted their portion with a measuring line. They will possess it forever. They will dwell in it from generation to generation. The wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom like a wild flower. It will blossom abundantly and will also rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Steady the shaking knees. Say to the cowardly, "Be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. Vengeance is coming. God's retribution is coming. He will save you." Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. For water will gush in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground will become a pool, and the thirsty land springs. In the haunt of jackals, in their lairs, there will be grass, reeds, and papyrus. A road will be there, and a way. It will be called the Holy Way. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for the one who walks the path. Fools will not wander on it. There will be no lion there, and no vicious beast will go up on it. They will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk on it, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing, crowned with unending joy. Joy and gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib of Assyria attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his royal spokesman along with a massive army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. The Assyrian stood near the conduit of the upper pool by the road to the launderer's field. Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna, the court secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the court historian, came out to him. The royal spokesman said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, the great king, the king of Assyria says this, 'What are you relying on? You think mere words are strategy and strength for war? Who are you now relying on that you have rebelled against me? Look, you are relying on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff that will pierce the hand of anyone who grabs it and leans on it. This is how Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is to all who rely on him. Suppose you say to me, 'We rely on the Lord our God.' Isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You are to worship at this altar?' Now make a deal with my master, the king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you're able to supply riders for them. How then can you drive back a single officer among the least of my master's servants? How can you rely on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I attacked this land to destroy it without the Lord's approval?' The Lord said to me, 'Attack this land and destroy it.' Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the royal spokesman, 'Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, since we understand it. Don't speak to us in Hebrew with an earshot of the people who are on the wall.' But the royal spokesman replied, 'Has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men who are sitting on the wall, who are destined with you to eat their own excrement and drink their own urine?' Then the royal spokesman stood and called out loudly in Hebrew, 'Listen to the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he cannot rescue you. Don't let Hezekiah persuade you to rely on the Lord, saying, "The Lord will certainly rescue us. This city will not be handed over to the king of Assyria." Don't listen to Hezekiah, for this is what the king of Assyria says: Make peace with me and surrender to me. Then every one of you may eat from his own vine and his own fig tree and drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware that Hezekiah does not mislead you by saying, "The Lord will rescue us." Has any one of the gods of the nations rescued his land from the power of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they rescued Samaria from my power? Who among all the gods of these lands ever rescued his land from my power? So will the Lord rescue Jerusalem from my power?" But they kept silent. They didn't say anything, for the king's command was, "Don't answer him." Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna, the court secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the court historian, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and reported to him the words of the royal spokesman. Galatians 5:13-26. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Psalm 64. Protection from evildoers. For the choir director, a psalm of David. God, hear my voice when I am in anguish. Protect my life from the terror of the enemy. Hide me from the scheming of wicked people, from the mob of evildoers who sharpen their tongues like swords and aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from concealed places at the blameless. They shoot at him suddenly and are not afraid. They adopt an evil plan. They talk about hiding traps and say, "Who will see them?" They devise crimes and say, "We have perfected a secret plan." The inner man and the heart are mysterious. But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be wounded. They will be made to stumble. Their own tongues work against them. All who see them will shake their heads. Then everyone will fear and will tell about God's work, for they will understand what he has done. The righteous one rejoices in the Lord and takes refuge in him. All those who are upright in heart will offer praise. Proverbs 23:23. Buy and do not sell truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Okay, so yesterday in the book of Isaiah, we talked about paths that were divergent. We talked about being at the fork in the road. One path was to return to God in quietness and rest and find strength. The other path was to try to outrun whatever's chasing us by doubling down on our own strength. And we explored that. We have an opportunity to look at divergent paths again, only this time in the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And Paul tells us that the crossroads is the choice between the sinful nature and union with the Spirit of God. And so I quote from Paul, "The flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want." So there are two paths, and there is a tremendous pull onto the path of the sinful nature. It's fighting for control. How do we know, though? Like, how do we know if we're even near that path? Paul says that there are some signs to observe to indicate that we are on the path of the sinful nature. And I quote, "The works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar." I mean, let's think about that for a second, because, you encounter lists like this in the Bible, and it's easy to gloss over. Like, we'll be like, yeah, sexual immorality, lustful pleasure, drunkenness, wild partying, carousing, sure. Sure, I've been warned against that since I was old enough to be in the youth group. So, sure, I get it. I get the list. And I'm trying to avoid these things. But there are interesting other things on this list that are being warned against. Jealousy. Envy. Rage. Outbursts of anger. These are on the same list with all the sexual stuff. What about those? and maybe even what's the big deal. Everybody, you know, everybody has experienced an outburst of anger at some point in their life. The big deal for Paul isn't like, look, here's the new Christian law. Like, you're free from the Jewish Mosaic law, but here's the Christian law that you have to obey now. That's not Paul, like, exchanging one group of rules for another set of rules. He's trying to say, look, this kind of behavior doesn't lead you to freedom. It leads you to more bondage. Jesus has come to give you actual, true freedom from within, overflowing out into your life. And this is just easy enough to just consider what Paul is saying. How free do you feel when you are burning with jealousy? How free are you when what you are doing is trying to figure out how you compare with somebody else and you envy them because you think they got something you didn't get somehow? Like, how whole do we feel when we rage, right? When something snaps and we have this uncontrollable outburst of anger, do we feel whole? When did we experience just a true sense of Jesus' presence and spiritual joy as we participated in lust? Right? So this becomes less about rules and more about, like, there's a way this works, and dabbling in all of the things that are destructive will lead to destruction, because that's where the path goes. You don't have to walk that path. There's a choice here. And Paul's not saying, look, if you find some behavior on this list that you have participated in at some point in your life, you're out. That's not what he's saying. He's saying walking this path, which means with our thoughts, words, and deeds that add up to our lives, we are walking a path. If we want to walk the path of the sinful nature, we can have exactly what we want. It just ends up exactly where that path is going. And Paul is just going, there's a different path. There is a way, the way of Jesus. And where does that path go? I quote, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So here we are again at the crossroads. There's a path that goes one direction, and then there's a path that goes the other direction. One path leads into the sinful nature and to destruction. The other path cultivates the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And they're there for us to look at today. So it's time for us to decide, what path are we on? Where is it we are hoping to end up? Because we're going to end up wherever the path that we are walking goes. And the Bible continually shows us that the path we are walking is made up of our thoughts, words, and deeds. So what path are we going to choose? And Holy Spirit, come. First, we invite you to shine the light of truth onto the path that we are walking. Shine the light of truth into the corners of our hearts. Show us where we are so we can know where it's going. We desire the fruit of your spirit in our lives. This is the path we want to walk. And so show us, Holy Spirit, what that looks like for each one of us. And we ask this expectantly. We need a course correction, and we are inviting you to be the true north, to show us the way that we should go. And we know that you will. Help us pay attention, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey guys, it's Eyes of a Dove calling in some prayers. Woman called in, 30-year-old daughter, who is her youngest daughter, and not saved. Sounds like this woman is living with her daughter, and her daughter's 20-month-old baby, and her daughter is not saved, and she's having a hard time, you know, watching her daughter stumble through motherhood, and is asking for patience, grace, and guidance. Father, would you guide her into prayer and leading by example and giving her great wisdom and patience in those situations? I can only imagine. Gia, blind on an air mattress, living in a room, need housing ASAP, Father God. We need to provide her housing and healing out of her eye and the pressure sore, that it would be closed in the name of Jesus. I ask for healing. Brian in Ohio, you and your wife have been separated for 6.5 years, possibly fully divorced, and you're asking her for reconciliation of this marriage. Hallelujah. Father God, that you'd continue to soften her heart, that you'd bring these two back together and bring hope and renewal. Smash the enemy's plan. Father, we also pray for Brian's son, Michael, for wisdom, discernment for the doctors at the facility, and also for his daughter, Ashley, for salvation for her, her baby, and their partners. And Father, thank you for Winter's call, that you've given her sweet rest and peace and restoration over the weekend, and continue to bless and lift her up and all the students around her. Also, somebody had made a comment that maybe I hated being a safety officer and that they did too. I actually feel called to it. I feel blessed and honored. God has put me in this position to be there and minister to others. It's a unique position to be in. I don't want anyone to think I'm not blessed in that. I am. It's just stressful. I want to do my best and glorify God in it. And sometimes that's difficult in construction. So I appreciate you guys' prayers. Love you. Bye.
This message is for Ava Hart. You called in and said that you felt like the Holy Spirit had left you. I have felt that way before, and I just leaned into prayer, fasting, and into God's Word. And I was reminded that I needed to put on the armor of God every day, which I sometimes fail, and I have, you know, hard days too. But that really helped me to remember that I know the truth, and the Word of God can speak into that darkness. So you're doing the right things by listening to His Word and praying. So I just wanted to encourage you and let you know that I am praying for you. And I am praying, God, please help Ava to feel your presence and to show the fruits of your Spirit. And Lord, that you would fight her battles for her spiritually. In Jesus' name, send your angels to defend her from the demons of oppression and doubt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, amazing family. This is Prisoner of Hope calling in for some of our dabbers. I wanted to thank the woman who called in. You didn't say your name, but you're our little girl who was having some issues with schizophrenia. And you said she has not had any issues since the DAB community has prayed for her. I am so happy to hear that. Thank you for calling that in, and praise God. I'm also calling in for Manita. Happy birthday, my sweet sister. This community needs you. We love you. Please keep calling in. We thank you for God giving you another year. And then Brett from Illinois, you said you had spinal meningitis last year. You're a junior in high school. And I think maybe you just wanted to say hi. So hi, welcome to our community, and please call in again and let us know how you're doing. A woman called in. You said your 30-year-old daughter is going through a rough time. She has a 20-month-old, and they're living with you, I believe, and needs to find God in a big way. And then also, Brian from Hubert Heights, Ohio, you would like Mitchell, your son Matthew, and your daughter Ashley, and your unborn child, and their spouses to come to know you as well. And then I'm also lifting up Bob from Colorado. You're going to visit your grandkids and you want to have a godly impact on them. You have 3 daughters and 5 grandchildren. And I guess I'm just not sure if they're saved, but I'm going to pray for salvation for all of these people. So Heavenly Father, we ask you to draw these people and call them and give them a desire to want to submit their lives to you and your perfect will, to not just make you Savior, but to make you Lord of their life, that they would call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. And we just pray, Lord, that you would do this by your Holy Spirit. Help them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family, it's El Bonita. I'm Marilyn. I debated on making this call, but like maybe I called too much, but then I think that's the enemy just fighting, right? So I'm asking for your prayers. On Friday, my young 20-something cousin was struck by a motorist and killed on his motorcycle. He is newly married. They've been married 3 years. My cousin's name is Brandon, and they have a 1-year-old son. He was killed instantly, and this is back home in Kentucky where I'm from, so I'm going to be flying out once the funeral arrangements have been made, but I am so heartbroken, and my aunt is devastated. She's devastated. And his mom, he's my second cousin. His mom is just not even speaking. She is in a really dark place. So if you could pray for her, her name is Tammy, his wife, his sweet son, and that this funeral will be peaceful. And that the Lord will fill the room, because many on this side of the family aren't believers, and I fear are blaming God. And so prayers would be appreciated. Love you all. Thank you again for praying. Take care. Bye.